Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva, text number 25.
Etavaduktvo Pararamatam Mahad.
Etavaduktvo Pararama Tanmahad.
Etavaduktvo Pararama Tanmahad.
Bhutam no lingam alingam ishvaram.
Bhutam no lingam alingam ishvaram.
Aham chatasmai mahatam mahiyase.
Aham chatasmai mahatam mahiyase.
Sishna vanamam vidadhenu kampitaha.
Sishna vanamam vidadhenu kampitaha.
Etavat.
Etavat.
Thus.
Thus.
Uktva.
Uktva.
Spoken.
Spoken.
Upararama.
Upararama.
Stopped.
Stopped.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Mahat.
Mahat.
Great.
Bhutam.
Bhutam. Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Nabalingam.
Nabalingam.
Personified by sound.
Personified by sound.
Alingam.
Alingam.
Unseen by the eyes.
Unseen by the eyes.
Ishvaram.
Ishvaram.
The supreme authority.
The supreme authority.
Aham.
Aham.
I. Cha,
cha,
also,
also,
tasmai,
tasmai,
unto him,
mahatam,
the great,
the great.
Mahiyase,
mahiyase,
unto the glorified,
glorified.
Sirushna,
by the head,
avanamam,
obeisances,
vidadhe,
executed,
anukampitaha,
being favored by him.
Then that supreme authority, personified by sound and unseen by eyes, but most wonderful, stop speaking, feeling a sense of gratitude. I offered my obeisances unto him, bowing my head. Purport: that the personality of Godhead was not seen, but only heard, does not make any difference. The personality of Godhead produced the four Vedas by his breathing. And he is seen and realized through the transcendental sound of the Vedas. Similarly, the Bhagavad Gita is the sound representation of the Lord. And there is no difference in identity. The conclusion is, that the Lord can be seen and heard by persistent chanting of the transcendental sound. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Udmilitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Trina Bhutale Swaya Rupa Kadamayam Vidakti Swaya Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangu Lankaya Degri Yatri Pata Mahamande Sri Guru Dinatarinam. So, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of chanting and how the holy name is non-different from the Lord Himself. In the example he gives of water, you can be very, very thirsty, but if you chant the name water, 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 you won't quench your thirst. Right? Or, you know, Coca-Cola. In fact, if you drink Coca-Cola, you probably won't even quench your thirst anyway, because it, you know, got so much sugar in it. You drink a bottle of Coca-Cola, and then you think, "Oh boy, I'm really thirsty. I need to have another one." I think that's how they design the drink, right? So you know, you can chant Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, Cola-Cola, Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, Pepsi-Cola. Was it? Pepsi, Cola, Cola. You can try it, but you won't quench your thirst. Because, Prabhupada explains, the object water and the name water are different. The object Coca-Cola and the name Coca-Cola is different. They're not the same. Although one indicates the other, they're very, very different, obviously. From the material perspective, this is the material understanding, or the material, a material example. But from a spiritual example, if we chant the name of Krishna, then we're actually associated directly with Krishna. The name Krishna and Krishna himself are non-different. We may not be able to directly connect due to anattas or other obstacles. But of course, the example is given, they're like clouds that cover the sun. The sun still remains resplendent and prominent in the sky. So just because we may not immediately recognize that Krishna is personally present in his name due to our misfortune and due to the covering of ignorance, still Krishna is personally present within his name. And as Rupa Goswami mentions in the Upadesha Amrita, even if a person is not able to taste the sweetness due to that covering of ignorance, we may not be able to taste the sweetness of Krishna's name. Just as an example that he gives is, just as a person who has jaundice can't taste the sweetness of sugar due to their illness, due to their disease, and similarly, a person who is covered by the jaundice of ignorance can't taste the sweetness of the holy name. Yet the cure for jaundice is to take the sugar candy. And as a person takes the medicine, initially the medicine tastes bitter. But as one takes the medicine, then gradually, as it cures the tongue, or as the jaundice condition is removed from the tongue, so then what was always sweet, but because of jaundice tasted bitter, gradually the natural taste returns to the tongue, and so therefore what was already sweet becomes tasted as sweet. So similarly also with chanting the holy name, if one keeps on chanting, then by the continual process of chanting, then one gradually removes the jaundice of ignorance, and so then the holy name reveals itself, himself. So one just needs to, keep on associating with Krishna. Even if one doesn't have a taste. Because Krishna is pavitram idam uttamam. The process of devotional service is pavitram idam uttamam. That means it is transcendental and pure. Uttamam means above. Tama means darkness. Uttamam means above darkness. So in this example, the Lord is described here as Nabho Lingam, which is translated here as personified by sound. So the Lord has appeared in the form of sound before Narada Muni. And Alingam means unseen by the eyes. But yet Narada Muni understood the transcendental and omnipotency of the Lord, so that he can appear in any form that he likes and still has his potency. Nam nam makari bahudaha nija sarva shaktis. All shakti, sarva shakti, is present in the Lord's name. And also here, Prabhupada explains, in his instructions. The personality of Godhead was not seen. You know, in what's the saying? Seeing is believing. Right? Seeing is believing. But for the devotees, hearing is believing. You know, the simplest method, the easiest method for transferring complex information, complex concepts, transcendental concepts, which are beyond the material, is easily delivered through the sound vibration. Actually, you know, vision is powerful, obviously. Vision is powerful. But in educational studies, what is recommended is a graphical image, which gives you an overall understanding of a concept. But then the detail is best delivered through hearing. They've done studies on the use of slideshows for presentations, right? And they say that the less text on a slide, the better. Right? If you put a lot of text, then that means everybody's got to read it through seeing. Of course, all they have to do is hear it. So you can hear complex information. Greater amount of information can actually be conveyed through hearing. Speaking and hearing. So, whether the Lord is seen or heard doesn't make a difference. And Papa says here, the personality of Godhead produced the four Vedas by his breathing, and he is seen and realized through the transcendental sound of the Vedas. This is why, you know, within the parampara, we'll find that on occasion there isn't a physical connection between the disciple and the guru. Isn't that interesting? Because we put emphasis on the siksha, on the instructions. And Prabhupada instructs, and it's also in the Shastra, that actually the emphasis is on the vapu as opposed... Sorry, the emphasis is on the vani, which is the words, as opposed to the vapu, or the physical association. Right? The emphasis is on the instruction. What does Prabhupada say at the beginning of the Bhagavatam? Right at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, what does Prabhupada say in the first page of the Bhagavatam? Who knows? Anybody?
In the verse?
No, right at the beginning of the first opening page. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. Huh? You know, what is the mercy of the guru? That he touches you with his stick or with his...
You get the understanding.
Hmm?
You get the...
instructions.
Understanding of the Vedic.
Yeah, you get the instruction, but how do you get the instruction? How do you get the understanding? Yeah. By hearing. That's the real mercy of the guru, is to receive his instructions. Because it's also, Prabhupada says, it's also beneficial, and it's also, what's the word, inspiring and purifying, enthusing to have the association of the spiritual master. But in associating with the spiritual master, we want to get his instructions. Or follow his example, which is the manifestation, ultimately, of the instruction. And the spiritual master is recognized as the personality who gives us the instructions that Krishna would ordinarily give. The guru doesn't create something new, but basically the guru is honored because of his ability to deliver the message of Krishna intake. Prabhupada says he's a peon. You know what a peon is? Peon. When we read Prabhupada's books, we get to learn a lot about the English language that a lot of people don't know. Huh? That's a word that Prabhupada... Peon means a messenger or a postman. You know, and Prabhupada gives the example, you know, the postman just delivers the mail. In fact, you know, he'll get sacked if he opens up people's mail and starts adjusting the messages inside. Or stealing, you know, there are postmen who get caught stealing the mail. Very heavy crime. There was one, a few weeks ago, somebody up in Mildura or somewhere, he was a courier, deliverer, you know, he was stealing packages. As a result, he didn't keep his job. One has to be very trustworthy. So the guru is trustworthy. Why is he trusted? Because he delivers Krishna's message. And that's considered to be not... And, you know, the guru is worshipped as good as God. Right? Not because he is God, but because he's faithful to God's word, God's instruction. And so, in that sense, he's honoured, respected. Everybody pays their obeisances to the devotees, even, you know, as you preach and as you make advancement, in Krishna consciousness, then people will respect you. People will call you Maharaj and they'll pay their obeisances. Not because we're such wonderful personalities, but because we stick faithfully to following Krishna's instructions. And so therefore we represent Krishna. The devotees represent Krishna. Whether we like it or not, we're representing Krishna. And as faithfully or as transparently as we represent Krishna, then Krishna will manifest for those persons who follow those instructions. So it's for that purpose that the Lord, with his breathing, gives the Vedas. And it was for that purpose that Vyasadeva compiled the Vedas, to transmit that information, transmit the message. What is Vedais cha savayadaham eva vidyo vedanta krit veda vid eva chaham? By all of the Vedas I am to be known. I am the compiler of the Vedas and the Vedanta Krit. I'm the compiler of the Vedanta. Vedavit, the knower of the Vedas. The end of all knowledge. So that knowledge is, especially in the Vedic tradition, is transmitted through this sound vibration. Why we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Right? And why Srimatam Sva Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. The Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees. Why? Because Krishna is personally present. Just as is the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is present. Prabhupada says here, Bhagavad Gita is the sound representation of the Lord, and there is no difference in identity. So the conclusion is, Prabhupada says here, that the Lord can be seen and heard by persistent chanting of the transcendental sound. So what does persistent mean? Even if one commits offences or makes mistakes, one keeps chanting, keeps hearing, keeps rendering service. Because Krishna is non-different from his name, from his speech, from his presentation of the Vedas, from his presentation of the Bhagavad Gita. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation. Because he is personally present, we offer our respects, but then we engage with and absorb ourselves in these manifestations of the Lord, basically for our purification. And so therefore the Lord has stopped speaking. And Narada Muni is such an elevated personality that he's able to appreciate the presence of the Lord in his nabhalingam, alingam, unseen but heard. He's able to appreciate, due to his purity, and he's able to appreciate the presence of the Lord. And so therefore, when the Lord stops speaking, then he offers his respects. Vidadhenukampitaha. Because the Lord presented himself and was kind to Narada Muni, gave him his mercy. So then, by appearing before him in the form of the sound of his instructions, then Narada Muni bowed down, offered his obeisances by bowing down, putting his head on the ground, and honouring the Lord's presence in the form of his name. You know, when we're chanting our japa, we should be in that mood of offering respect. When we hear the Bhagavatam, we chant prayers beforehand, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, in recognition of the fact that Krishna is personally present. We may not fully appreciate, due to our ignorance being covered somewhat, we may not appreciate the Lord's, you know, and sometimes we do. When we start off chanting Hare Krishna, sometimes Krishna gives us a bit of a taste. You know, Lord Chaitanya is like a merchant selling the holy name. What is it? What's the marketplace of the holy name? What's it called? By Bhaktivinoda Thakur? I've forgotten. Anyway, sometimes a merchant gives away freely his wares to, inspire the customers. Gives out some free samples. So Krishna, sometimes when we're chanting, when we first start, this happens a lot when devotees first start chanting, and they're chanting Hare Krishna, and then all of a sudden they feel a deep presence of Krishna in the holy name. A deep appreciation. Of course, we should be feeling like that all of the time, but it's not always that the Lord reveals himself in that fashion. But in order to inspire the devotees, sometimes he manifests himself, he gives a taste. It's actually a shadow or a reflection of the actual holy name. But still, the feeling is there and inspires the devotees. And similarly also in the Bhagavatam, oftentimes in the Bhagavatam, we're sort of struggling to stay awake. But then on other occasions we're absolutely enthralled by the message. Our attention is fully locked into what the speaker is saying. And we can actually feel it. We can feel it's purifying us. Maharaj Parikshit was an example, a very interesting example of somebody who appreciated Krishna's presence in the speaking of the Bhagavatam. He didn't eat, sleep, didn't drink, didn't take anything for 7 days. Could you imagine that? Not eating, sleeping, or taking anything for 7 days. And he's just inspired, completely inspired to hear the presentation of Sukadeva Goswami. But even though we may not have that full appreciation all of the time, but still we, at least understanding it philosophically, we are persistent or consistent, remaining faithful to the fact that the Lord is present in his name and in his in those forms which manifest through sound. And and which make up a good the major portion of the process of bhakti that we follow. You know, we worship the Lord in the form of the deity. And so we have that, you know, it's described, we have the Pancharatrika process, the worship of the deities, and all of that service that surrounds that worship is part of the Pancharatrika system. But we also have the Bhagavat Vidhi, or the Bhagavat Marg. And that's the hearing and chanting. No, that's the hearing and chanting, that aspect of devotional service. Both of them work together. But of the two, the Bhagavat Marg is that which is most prominently encouraged or presented, if you like, for our internal purification, the hearing and the chanting. Because deity worship also has the same, gives the same effect. But that's supporting the hearing and the chanting. Okay, I'm finished. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? I think the answer is going to be different for each of us, but basically we're envious of Krishna, I suppose. What do you think? We like Krishna, but sometimes we don't like him. And we like the devotees too, but sometimes we don't like them either. They tell us what to do when we don't want to be told what to do. You know, most of us have an authority problem. You know, we either didn't like our mum or we didn't like our dad or we didn't like both of them. And, you know, we had issues. Everybody has issues. But that's a very good question. Why don't we feel grateful? We should be feeling immensely grateful and appreciative of the fact that we've been saved from material existence by the devotees. Huh? And we do feel grateful. This is why one has to be persistent in the process of devotional service, because otherwise, you know, until one reaches the platform of nishtha, or, you know, steadiness, and that concomitant manifestation of ruchi, or taste, you know, real taste, the chanting, and for engagement in the processes of devotional service, then in the beginning, when we have anattas, then it's described in the Madhurya Kadambini, I think, that our enthusiasm or our appreciation will be thick and thin. You know? Thick and thin. So, you know, one morning we wake up and we think, joy! Gonna go to Mambalati, nectar. Then the next day we wake up, we think, oh my God. Well, we might not even wake up. Huh? Hmm. we'll just feel, because it may be because we're just tired, that's another thing. But, we lack enthusiasm. The taste for material objects may still remain. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina. So, as long as we're embodied, then we'll have to put up with the affairs of the body to a degree until we come to that level of steadiness and then ultimately that to the point of ruchi. Anybody like to comment on that point? Nice question.
Okay. Lagerton also says that gratitude is a symptom of intelligence.
Intelligence.
So, we're constantly hearing, then intelligence becomes strong. Nourished.
Yeah.
So, if we are hearing constantly and we're in your consciousness, then naturally we'll be grateful for what we give in Christian consciousness. We stop hearing regularly, then the intelligence becomes weakened, becomes material in consciousness, and we lose our gratitude and we start thinking, well, these people are taking from me rather than giving to me. So we see things in the wrong way, material consciousness.
Yeah, good point. You had a comment?
Question.
Question. Any other comments on that? Yes, so Mati, what was your realization?
That
you have to speak up.
I think it could be a long time for occasion of the Buddha station. One is really putting a lot of effort into the devotional, but it becomes very apparent.
Becomes apparent.
Will you give an example of a person infected with jaundice?
Yeah.
It's nice that you know the current medicine is initially there, but
yeah.
Then you go back to recuperate. But then again, the thing with jaundice is it's a kind of virus, like once you get it, you don't get it again in the body because the body creates antigens against it. Similarly, in our spiritual life, how can we create antigens that, we don't get affected by the ignorance of jaundice and even after we get small days of chanting the holy name?
Keep chanting. Keep hearing. Keep. What's it? What is it? It's Nashta Priyasya Babadreshu Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, one has to keep serving. And it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, how does one get a taste for hearing? By constantly hearing, but how does one get an affinity or an attraction for hearing from the sadhus? Yeah, by rendering service. So, by rendering service, by hearing, by constantly engaging in those activities, then one will build up resistance against the antibodies of material existence, and then it will be sufficiently strengthened with devotional antigens. What does Krishna Das Kaviraj say? What's the most important aspect of devotional service, the beginning of devotional service? Yeah, in one way. If you're without devotional service, how do you get it? Yes, the devotees. So, in one sense, the most important aspect of devotional service is association. Some faith has to be there, or some enthusiasm, as mentioned. adore Shraddha. So yes, some faith. But then what comes? Sadhu Sangha, association with the devotees. So if we can, assuming we have at least a little bit of faith, if we stay in the association of the devotees, then we'll be able to build our devotional service. Why is that? Because if you stay in the association of the devotees, then you'll be, you know, they'll say, Prabhu, get up. Don't sleep while you're chanting your rounds. Why aren't you going to the Bhagavatam class? What's wrong? Why aren't you doing your service? Right? All by the mercy of the devotees. That's why I'm here, because of a devotee, not because of anything that I did. Maybe some attraction. But that attraction was ignited by the devotees chanting Hare Krishna. So stay in the association of the devotees and we'll build up the antigens. Spiritual bodybuilding. You know, our spiritual gym is getting up, chanting, dancing. Especially, you know, chanting and dancing, that'll build up your spiritual body. It'll wreck your material body, actually. When we were in New Zealand, we had these kirtans. These young fellows, they're about 20, you know, between 18 and 25. They're all bouncing around all over the place. So I thought, okay, I can keep up with these guys. I'm pretty fit and healthy. You know, the next day my hip joints started to ache, which I've never experienced before. So, you know, future prospects of the mature body not looking too good. But, you know, the association of the devotees is inspiring, enthusing. And you see it. Prabhupada was an old man, ostensibly an old man. And yet on occasion he was so enthused that he, you know, in Rath Yatra, Prabhupada would most often sit on the Rath car. But I know it was here in Melbourne, wasn't it? Prabhupada danced all the way with the devotees. So that's, you know, in the association of the devotees, in the association of the holy name, then, you know, even materially we may not be feeling so fit, if you like, but being enthused by Krishna, we can, with, or transcend material constraints, material restrictions, and you know, overcome these material tendencies. Anything else? Matthias, you had some?
I was just going to say, sometimes it's hard to show gratitude at any given time, but I think with the Lord stops speaking, then at least we know we have devotees to associate and serve with. Yes. To show gratitude.
Yes, yep, definitely. Anything else? How are we going to show our gratitude today? Sorry? Hare Krishna. I'm not sure about that. Thank you. I think all the credit has to go to Prabhupada, to be honest. We can show our gratitude by taking prasadam. Huh? While we're taking prasadam, we call out to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Isn't that what we do? What's in the verse? Preme doko Chaitanya nitai ori ori bo. Right, there are times when it's easy to appreciate Krishna. What about Bhaktivinoda Thakur? He says, you know, when I hear the sound of the mridanga, I remember when I first went to Mayapur, and You know, we went on this ridiculous trip. We flew to Sydney, then we flew to Perth. You know, it was Alitalia. So it was, you know, probably one of the cheapest flight tickets that you could ever get. So anyway, from Perth we flew to Singapore. From Singapore we flew to Madras. And, we left, I think we left Melbourne at about 10 o'clock in the morning, flew a domestic flight up to Sydney, over to Perth in the afternoon, then Perth, you know, middle of the afternoon, flew to Singapore. So it was 9 o'clock at night, I think, when we got to Singapore. Then we flew to Madras. We got to Madras, I don't know, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. I think it must have been. And I remember going on the buses. They drove us to Mahabalipuram, which is like the tourist area of, or it was in those days, it probably still is, the tourist area of Chennai now, on the beach. It was beautiful, actually. The surf was coming in. It was a beautiful beach. We slept in these huts, you know, like wooden huts, shacks. And I was thinking, what's going on here? Because it was kind of, rinky-dink like India can be sometimes. So anyway, we woke up that morning, the next morning, and then the next day in the afternoon, we flew to Calcutta. And we arrived in Calcutta at about midnight, I think it was. And then they took us on buses to Mayapur. I know, this is just, when I think about it, how crazy it was. That was just the beginning of, you know, that was the time that we had the 32-hour bus ride also from Mayapur to Puri, which is another story. But anyway, we arrived in Mayapur at 4 o'clock in the morning after this two-day travel. And, you know, we were given our rooms in a long building, six to a room. And lucky if you got a bathroom attached. If you have an ensuite, you're pretty, that was a luxury. So anyway, 4 o'clock, so we said, Mangalati. So, you know, exhausted basically, hadn't slept all night. And we went to Mangalati. And then I remember the sound of the mridanga. Because in Mayapur, you know, the devotees really know how to play the mridanga. You know, so when you hear that, then it picks you up. You dance. You naturally it just picks you up. Just amazing. So, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you know, when I taste the shak, prasad, or where I hear the sound of the mridanga, then I... So there are some aspects of devotional service that is very easy to appreciate, isn't it? Just you naturally. It's just, you know, when you have to go and do your service, so got to go to Crossways. Oh my God! But we should also be feeling enthused by that, isn't it? We should be enthused also at some of the more less enthusing, because it's my experience actually that if you can generate enthusiasm for doing the less appreciated task, immediately appreciated task in devotional service, then actually Krishna reciprocates with you more. When you approach the things that appear to be more drudgery or more, you know, austere, but you approach them with more enthusiasm, then Krishna actually reciprocates. If he's non-different from his name, he's also non-different from his service. But we tend to look at it from a material perspective, thinking, whatever. Or even, 2 hours, I'm going to chant Hare Krishna. Then we approach it with that kind of niggardly, you know, mentality. Then Krishna withdraws himself. Interesting, isn't it? that when we throw ourselves into it, even though initially it might be from the material point of view, it may be a mundane drudgery, but if we approach it from the point of view of this is service to Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates. Enough? Then we get even more appreciation that how could it be? This is just a really, ordinarily this is a mundane activity from a material perspective. But if I engage in that wholeheartedly, enthusiastically, appreciating that Krishna is present in his service, then Krishna will reciprocate with us. Because he's not different. Okay. Kuntura Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai sajata ki jai gaur bhakta vrinda ki jai.
Grace and your Guru Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.